Good morning to each and every one as we get started into this lesson this morning. I certainly wasn't planning on standing up here this morning, and I'm sure Ed wasn't planning on standing up here tonight. But due to some circumstances of life, then we are going to be filling in for Brother Tim today and all the things going on with that. As my father always said, the old must die and the young will die. And it is very difficult at times when that happens. To lose a child is probably the worst thing can happen to a parent. And it is a very difficult and trying time. And I'll reiterate what Brother Donnie said. It's very good that this congregation could help them out in the stress and the things that are going on with that. And I want to touch on something that I've heard several times in prayers, and it has nothing to... I don't really mean to single out Brother Earl, but we pray about hard and difficult times in this congregation. And let me tell you something. We don't know what hard and difficult times are. We are blessed beyond all of every other country in this world. We have enough to get by. We have many song leaders, as Brother Tim has pointed out. We have many people to take part in the services. And we are blessed greatly by God and the things going on there. So I want you to think about that when you think about hard and difficult times. Sure, we might not have the money we want and all the other things we want to do, some things we do. But in life, really, that is a minor thing. And we have many other things to be grateful for. And we need to be very appreciative of that. And this year, 2010, some people in this congregation, either them or their mate, has found a job that is better than what they had. And things have been better for them. And that is very wonderful. And we need to be appreciative of that. And hard and difficult times is something totally different than what we view as hard and difficult times sometimes. And just ask you to think about that. Sister Ethel Mahan, if you haven't seen her for a while, she's had a stroke. And her mind is good, just that the communication sometimes takes her a little bit to get out what she needs to get out. If you haven't had an opportunity to go see her, you need to do that. She's kind of lonely. And Sister Pauline Sellers, basically just laying there and moaning and groaning. And maybe not even knowing what all is going on in this world. But when you think about those two, then you can think about more difficult times and some things in your life than what you have. And, you know, when we think about how bad things are in our life, you just look around and you always find somebody that's worse off than what you are. And you need to be thinking about that and be counting our blessings of what we do have instead of focusing on the things that we don't have. And life will be so much better. And we'll feel better about life, and things will get better for all of us. You know, we've had a war in Afghanistan now for, what, 8-9 years. And Iraq has been another war that's been going on. And we've had our friends and loved ones go overseas and fight those battles and the conflicts that are going on there. And even some of them have, that we have known, have lost their lives and have sacrificed, a supreme sacrifice, for this country and for the freedoms that we have. And that battle and that turmoil at times is very heated and very difficult. And we need to remember those people as they're over there and the sacrifice they make, sometimes going for a year at a time without their families. And the things that they're going through over there. And again, that's hard and difficult times to leave your family. And to go over there to protect us and do the things that we're doing. But you know, in this battle that's going on over there, there's strategies and things to do and how to do it and what to do and when to do it to win those battles. And you know, it's not much different than us. We have a battle that is going on within us, and the things that are going on in our life, if we get this thing to work, that we think are... something that doesn't happen to anybody else. You know, I'm amazed. I've worked around people now with a lot of different people for the last many years and dealing with people and counseling people at work and things going on in their lives and seeing how they get distraught and how that they think that's just happening to them in their life and the things that are going on in their lives. It's only happening to me. And we fail to see and understand sometimes that the battle that goes on within us, other people have either went through it, are going through it, or could be going through it in the near future. And we feel sorry for ourselves, and we forget about the battle that's in us. It's a major thing. And that's hard and difficult times for us when we're going through those battles. And there's no light at the end of the tunnel sometimes, and it makes it difficult to deal with. But there is a battle going on with us, a war, if you would. Even a more important war than what's in Afghanistan and Iraq and any of the other great wars that have been fought in this world. And that is a war for your soul. And we need to understand that. That conflict is forever going on. And you'll have peace at times, and other times there'll be difficult times in your life. And you're going to have to face up to those. You might not want to, but you're going to have to face up to those, and you're going to have to handle those. You know, as a man once told me, if it doesn't kill you, it'll make you stronger. And I can tell you right now that that was a true statement if I ever heard it. Sometimes you'll think, how am I ever going to get through this? And how am I going to deal with the situation that's going on in my life and be able to overcome it? And remembering that there is a light at the end of that tunnel, and it will make you stronger for what you go through. So we need to understand that. All right. And this here, and fleshly lust versus the soul is a war that we have to worry about more than anything else. I mean, I could be a soldier in Afghanistan, Iraq, or somewhere else, and lose my life and lose that battle and not be as important as losing the battle of your soul versus your flesh. In 1 Peter, Peter wrote in chapter 2 and verse 11, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11, and I'll be giving you some verses from different translations, and I'll try to let you know. This first one comes from the King James Version, and it is 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11, and it says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts that war against the soul." Now, we get pretty attached to the things of this world, don't we? And the things going on in our life. And we see and can handle and taste, to use Brother Dave Harless's terminology. If we can't do that, to feel and understand and see all these things, when it's outside of that realm, it is difficult to understand for us. But there is a war going on with us. Satan is on one side and God's on the other. And there's a conflict on us, always going on, and all of us. And we're all looking for God and the things where we should be. And this eternal, internal strife is going on within each of us. And sometimes we see that only as myself. And I have to deal with this. Brother, sister, so-and-so. And they don't have to deal with anything. Their life's grand, and they don't have any difficulties. And all the things going on in their life is not. But that's not true, and we all know that. But when we're going through it, that's the way we look at it. We don't lean on a brother or sister in Christ, and we don't try to help each other through those difficult times that we face in life. And it makes it that much more difficult. And we need to remember that. And all of us have those difficulties, and parents have difficulties with children. Children have difficulties with parents. And children have difficulty with grandparents sometimes and other things that they're saddled with because of death of loved ones in between there. So we need to understand that and understand that there's things going on that we need to put first and foremost in our lives. In James, the fourth chapter, in verse 1, the Bible in basic English translation has these words. In James 4 and verse 1, says, "What is the cause of wars and fightings among you? Is it not your desires which are at war in your bodies?" You know, we want a better job, and we want better things in our lives, and we want to be able to have nicer things. It's how we go about to get those. And what we go about to get those, and do we really need it? And what we're going to do with it when we want. And this is the most powerful tool that Satan has. is to tempt you with the things that you could have, or the things you could be, or the desires you have to be something different. And he keeps that ever first and foremost before you. You know, it's like an alcoholic with a can of some kind of alcoholic beverage or a bottle of glass, and Satan is sitting right there before you and it's tempting you, and I just got to drink that glass, bottle, whatever, to fulfill what my desires of my flesh are. Okay, in this analogy, it's the same way with any other sin in our lives. That's just a simple analogy of what can happen in life. So we need to be very careful of that. And over in Romans 7th chapter and verse 23, and it gives a better understanding of what's going on here. In 7:23, the King James Version says, "But I see another war in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity of the law of sin, which is in my members." And this is a constant battle and a constant fight. And as any of us of any age knows, that changes as you age. You don't have the same problems you had when you were younger as you do when you're middle age, you're older, etc. And those things continue to change. And there is one thing that we need to remember, and that is that there is pleasure in sin. And it draws us into what we want to do and how we want to do it. And sin is what's going to cause us a major problem here. And Satan is ever going to put that before you, that sin is there. You know, that glass of alcoholic beverages, that can of alcoholic beverages. For somebody else, it's drugs. For somebody else, it's money. For somebody else, it's fleshly desires. And God will put that before you and keep it ever present, or Satan will be ever present before you, and God gives you an opportunity to get away from that, to do something about it. And we need to understand that. And in all this whole battle, we don't want to make provisions for the flesh. And the flesh is this thing that causes the desires, right? And causes us to do ungodly things and righteous things and causes us to sin. And the desires that are there to want to be something different than what we are, to have something different than what we have, and how we go about it and what we go about to get it and how we're going to get it is going to cause us a problem. So we need to understand that. Young people, they want to be famous sometimes, or they want to be rich, and they don't want to be like they were when they were growing up. They want to be something different and better and bigger. And in and of itself, that's not bad, but how you obtain that can be bad. Okay. In Romans 13:4, the King James Version says, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." And like I said, that's more difficult when you're younger than when maybe when you're older. Or maybe it's more difficult when something happens in your life that causes, say, hey, it's just not worth it anymore to be a Christian. It's just not worth it anymore to tread down this path, the straight and narrow. It's easier to go along with the crowd and do what the crowd wants me to do and all those things in my life. And but we need to remember that we're the ones that allows it to happen. Yeah, we can feel ourselves slipping away. We can feel ourselves getting weaker, yet we do nothing about it because we choose to do nothing about it sometimes. I'm not talking about somebody that's mentally sick. I'm just talking about somebody that is sin sick. And that's how they draw away and they fall away and they do all those things that they can, and they put the things of this world ahead of God. And the next thing you know, you take one step at a time and you're soon off that path where that you need to be. In Romans, the 6th chapter and verse 13, the Bible in Basic English Version again, in Romans 6:13 says, "And do not give your bodies to sin as instruments of wrongdoing, but give yourselves to God as those who are living from the dead, and your bodies as instruments of righteousness to God." And that's what's difficult sometimes. And that is the problem. We give ourselves to sin. We allow that to happen. These strong desires and wants that we have, sometimes we allow that to happen in our lives, don't we? And that's when we sin and fall short. We say, do, leave undone things we ought not, and we cause ourselves to sin. We have the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And those are the things that get in our way. And that's the tools that Satan has. That's all he has. And it's hard to overcome at times. It seems pretty simple, but it's not. And we need to remember that. And the third thing is, your soul is of great value. And we put value on things and people that have money. And we talk about people that are rich or not so rich or somewhere in between. And we put parameters on who's rich and who's not. Okay? You might have millions of dollars and not be a Christian and have a Christian family and have nothing. In your own mind, you're rich and you have things of this world that make you rich, and that's not the case. In Matthew 16:26, the King James Version says, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" And the problem is, what do we give for exchange for our soul? It's usually for a few minutes of pleasure of some kind. Or a few hours of pleasure. Or something along those lines. And it very seldom has a monetary value to it. But it could have. But many times it does not have. And we need to understand that. Another thing you need to remember is, how important is your soul to you? You got to bring this down to a personal level. It can't be, how important is my soul to someone else? Or how important is my soul to God? We already know that. That it's worth the whole world to Him, one soul. But how important is your soul to you? How much are you willing to say, take a self-examination of myself and say, hey, maybe I need to do things a little different. Maybe I need to look at things a little different. Maybe I need to tweak this or tweak that and become a stronger Christian and make my life what God wants it to be. Okay? When we're miserable as Christians, do we realize that's a choice that we make? God doesn't make you miserable. You make yourself miserable by the choices that you make. And we need to understand that. And over in Psalms 49:7, the New King James Version has these words. In 49:7, the book of Psalms, the New King James Version says, "None of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him." Now, you know, we see brothers and sisters sometimes going astray and not doing what they should be doing. And this is pretty obvious, right? And sometimes we as parents would like to pull our children out of that and do something different, wouldn't we? But we can't. Because why? I'm responsible for my soul, you're responsible for your soul, and they're responsible for their soul. And that is difficult at times to do and handle and understand, isn't it? But we can't buy that back, can we, from God? It is a gift from God to be a New Testament Christian. It's not something that you can purchase. You have to do certain things, but you cannot purchase it. And I cannot purchase salvation for you, and you cannot purchase it for me. It takes a self-examination of what's going on here, right? Okay. Number 4. Walking in the ways of men. Now, this causes us a lot of problems. And you can see that in our lives. And mankind wants you to do things a certain way and to think about things a certain way and look at things in a certain way. And you worry about yourself and don't worry about anybody else. And everything's going to be great. Well, you look what a mess we're in this country because of what's happened in the last few years. And everybody is worried about getting rich and famous and all the other things that goes on with it. And we just about had another major tumble in this country a few years ago. And now we're trying to dig our way out of it. And all the things that are going on with that because of the ways of men. They didn't look at things through godly eyes. They looked at it through the way men look at things. And now look where we're at. Greed and corruption cause many of these things. Excuse me. American Standard Version over in 1 Corinthians 3:3. The American Standard Version says these words. "For ye are yet carnal," or fleshly. "For whereas there is among you jealousy and strife, Are you not carnal? And do you not walk after the manner of men? In the American Standard Version. And we need to remember that pleasure of sin only lasts for a short period of time. It may last for a few years, but that's still short in comparison to your life or what's going to happen on there. And men will tell you how great it is to take part in sin. And look at this, how great it is. I've got money, I've got prestige, and I've got all these things, and my life is great, and I'm living in sin. I can guarantee you, if they're living in sin, their life is not great. Now, they might make that facade, that pretense on the outside, that they are great, but they are not. And their internal things inside them are tearing them to pieces. Or they just don't care, and they think that they're like Rover. When they die, they're dead all over. They don't think that they have anybody to answer to. But anyway, as you go on through your life, and as you go through this, and men's going to tell you how great sin is, and all the things you're doing with it, you need to understand that. In James 3:16, the New King James Version says these short words, "For envy and strife exist, self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there." New King James Version, "For where envy and self-seeking exist, every evil thing are present there." Okay. What is in it for me? Now, how many times have we heard that here lately in the United States of America? What's in it for me? How's it going to benefit me? Okay? Christianity is just the opposite. It is an attitude of serving others and being a servant to others. Not so much what's in it for me. Just think, if the Lord would have taken that mindset and said, "What's in it for me?" He even never would have died on the cross, would he? What's in it for me? What's in it for you? And how did they get that? You know, you see other people with the rich things that they have, and how'd they get that? They certainly had to do something less than desirable to get what they have, because they have more than I have. Well, that's always been a problem and always will be a problem. Jesus said, "You will have the poor with you always," for obvious and existing reasons, some for different and various reasons. But you always have the poor with you. You'll have rich people with you. And there are good rich people and there are bad rich people. I'm not going to tell you there is. But there are also good poor people and there are bad poor people. So you can't paint one with a brush. And I have, and I want what they have. In the United States of America, that's the reason why we're in part of the mess we're in. And the debt of each American, the average debt of each American is higher now than it ever has been. Okay? Because I want what they want or what they have, and I'm going to do what I have to get it. So we need to understand that. I'm going to go on through this. Fleshly lusts have a strong allurement. If there is not pleasure in sin, it wouldn't happen. So don't be so naive to think that there isn't pleasure in sin, because there is. And we all know that. If we do a self-examination of what goes on around us and ourselves, we know that there's pleasure in sin. And over in Colossians 3 and 5, and the American Standard Version 5 and 6 says, "Put to death therefore your members which are upon the earth, which are fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry." And verse 6 says, "For which things sake cometh the wrath of God upon the sons of disobedience." And it's important for us to see that there is that pleasure in sin, and that man would not be so willing to do it if it wasn't. Okay? There's pleasure in drinking. There's pleasure in drugs. There's pleasure in fornication, adultery, all those things temporarily. And then when your body wears out from all the wrong things that you've been doing and you have to suffer with those, we're quick to blame God for the mess we're in. And we need to understand sometimes that's our fault. And we made those choices. And we're not quick to take the blame for anything in this country. And you go over to Romans 8 and 13. In Romans 8 and 13, it says, in the Bible in Basic English Version, it says, "For if you go in the way of the flesh, death will come on you. But if by the Spirit you put to death the works of the body, you will have life. Pretty simple, isn't it? Usually not in an instant does death come to you or me from sinning, but sometimes it will. I mean, I can go out and get drunk and drive down the road in a car, hit something and die, or I can take drugs or whatever, and I can go out here and I can die instantly. Or I guess if you committed adultery and somebody caught you with somebody else and they shot you, I guess you could die instantly, right? But usually not. Usually we have time to think about it and the things going on in our lives and all the things going on there, right? Separating oneself from sin has great rewards. You know, with each time that, you remember I said if it doesn't kill you, it'll make you stronger. Each time that you get away from sin, you get stronger. The closer you get to sin and the farther you go with sin, the weaker you get. Do you want to be stronger, weaker? Do you want the devil to win? Do you want God to win? Where's your life? Where does it need to be? And how is it going to end someday when you have to stand before God? Because truth be known, we're all looking for God. We're all looking for a Creator and someone to serve. Over in Galatians 6 and 8, Galatians 6 and 8, in the King James Version, it says, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." So you have the two contrasts. You want corruption, you want life everlasting. Corruption, life everlasting. What do you want in your life? The choice is yours. Well, you say, well, God's not fast enough for me. He's not giving me what I want quick enough, and I'm going to take it upon myself. Okay? And I'm going to do what I need to do to fulfill whatever I'm going to fulfill in my life. And then everything will be great. I'll worry about it after the fact. Know assuredly that that never works, that never has worked, and you always have regrets for doing things that way. Abraham and Sarai, Abraham and Sarah decided to have a son by Hagar, Sarai's servant, you remember? And they thought that that would be how that the God would be so blessing them because they were both too old. And they were wrong. And then they had problems between Isaac and Ishmael, and they had to separate them, and they had to live with that. Abraham did as a teenager, turning Ishmael out into the world, and maybe never seeing him again. All right, so we can see that there are consequences for our sins, and there's pain with sin, and we need to understand that. If because I think it's a good idea, I better check with God and make sure that it is. And, and number six, it says, those that give themselves unto the flesh. You know, that's probably one of the easier things to do. But in Ephesians 5 and 5, the New King James Version there says, in Ephesians 5 and verse 5, "For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God." Servants of sin will not inherit the kingdom. You might go out of this world with billions of dollars, but I hate to tell you, you're going to go out with the same as somebody that never had a nickel. And we need to live our lives in such a way as that so that we don't lose focus on that. And then when that collection plate's passed around and we're so worried about something's going to happen 15 years from now, we won't be able to won't be afraid to put an extra dollar in, right? We worry too much about things that may never happen. And we need to understand that. And you go over to Revelations, 22:15, and it talks about heaven, okay, and the things are not going to get to heaven. And that city that's four square, and all the nice things are in the city, and the streets of gold that are in the context of the book of Revelation. And you get towards the end here, and he's telling you that these things are not in that city, okay? And you go to 22:15. And New King James Version says, "But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loves and practices a lie." It's kind of a serious situation here, isn't it? You can see this nice grand city and anybody can enter in that does what God tells them to do. And then you have these ones that are outside the city that are never allowed to go in the city because of the way that they have chosen to live their lives. So with all that said, the way to win the war. What is it? You know, you got to be truthful here. We're all sinners. We've all sinned and done, said, left undone, all those things that we shouldn't have done, right? We're all sinners. And we've all done that. And we can't lose focus on that. And we need to understand that, right? In Romans, the 13th chapter and verse 14, and the King James Version says, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." That's what gets us in trouble, isn't it? You know, I've heard people say, "I was so poor when I was young that I can't stand it. I've got to be rich." And they do all kinds of things to do that. Sometimes the young people get tangled up in alcohol or drugs at an early age, and then they can't get away from it when they get older. There's an 80%, there's studies been made that there's an 80% chance, greater chance, of a person becoming an alcoholic if they start drinking before the age of 18 than if they do after that. 80%. Pretty scary, isn't it? Then you go on to to look at the Galatians 5 and verse 6. King James Version says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Do you know, if you spend time going down here and seeing Ethel and Pauline and some of these other people that shut in and worry about other people that are in a less fortunate place than you are, that are in hard and difficult times, you won't have such trouble getting tangled up in sin. And neither will I, right? So we need to understand that. And you go over to Romans 6:19, and Romans 6:19, the New King James Version says, "I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh," which we all have that, okay? "For just as you were presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and the lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness." That's a juggle, right? You look like a clown juggling a ball all the time. Am I going to do what God tells me to do? Am I not going to do what God tells me to do? Am I going to suffer the consequences for what I do and how I do that? Okay? It's not an easy battle. And I'm not here to tell you it is easy. It is difficult, that battle. And as I've told several others in here, this world was not meant for us to stay here. And I believe that's the reason why we have so many trials and temptations in this life, is to let us see that there is nothing permanent on this earth. And you need to put your faith, your trust, and all that you have into going into heaven and not staying here upon this earth, because it's not going to get you anywhere, because this earth and the elements thereof are going to be burnt up. And we need to be very careful about it, right? Then I go over to Romans 6 and 12. It says, "Therefore," the New King James Version says, "Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust." Juggle. What am I going to do? Well, God's not fast enough for me. Abraham and Sarah, right? Juggle. Suffer the consequences. And we've all had to do that, right? And then we understand it in Colossians 3:10. King James Version in Colossians 3:10, it says, "And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." You know, putting on that new man is not always easy. Depending on how you come into being a Christian or whatever, and dropping off that baggage and leaving it behind, it's a difficult thing sometimes. And we that were not raised in the church was probably more difficult than some of you that were raised in the church. And that baggage sometimes is hard to leave behind, and you kind of drag it with you like a ball and chain until you cut that chain and let it go. It's very difficult. And putting on a new man is not always easy, and never will be easy depending on where you're at in life, whether you're the person that has a problem with drugs, alcohol, whatever. And, you know, as soon as I set that glass of alcohol there in front of me and I'm tempted to drink of it, and I drink of it, then the next glass is easier, and the next glass is easier, and I go right back to where I was. Or if I take drugs or whatever, that's there. But if I put that alcohol away from me and I don't have it around me, then I don't have that problem. And I grow stronger with each one of those temptations that I overcome. And we need to understand that. And over in Ephesians 4:24, King James Version again says, "And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." The new man. You know, we were created. And we don't like to think about that because we think we're pretty smart. But we're created. This complex machine we live in has been loaned to us. And we have a soul that dwells within it. And we have a creator, which is God. And we're all looking for God, whether we want to admit it or not. We're looking for something higher than us because we know that there is no way that we could have created this on our own. Our scientists and all the people are there, and we need to understand that in our lives. And how do we win the war? For it says in Galatians 3:27, the King James Version says, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ," and we can see it is an act of submission to God on our part. Okay, we're very proud people sometimes, and it's very difficult for us to say that. Hey, I sinned. I've done things wrong. And I need to put on Christ. And you need to do it in baptism. Okay? That's not my words. That's God's words. That's Galatians 3:27. So we need to understand that as we go through this life. And then the question for you and for me, are we winning the war? Or are we letting Satan win? What would it be? Whatever sin there is. If gambling's a problem and I'm going by through Wheeling Island and I can't stay away from there, I'd be ahead to stay off Wheeling Island, right? Or Mountaineer Park or Washington or Pittsburgh or anywhere else we got in this country anymore, it seems like. Gambling's everywhere. And if I have a problem with gambling, then I don't go there. I can't win that war if I keep going there. But I can win the war if I separate myself from that, whatever it be, and don't let it take a hold of me. So are you winning the war? Am I winning the war? Will you help me whenever you see me falling? Will I help you? Okay? It's a battle that all of us have to fight. But are you winning that battle? And sin will cost you your eternal soul. And I don't care what you have in this world. The only thing that you have of any real value is your soul. So I want you to think about that in your life and the things going on in your life and all the things that you've done in your life and I've done in mine. And sometimes some things you probably don't even want to think about. Some things you probably could have done better and should have done better. And understand that Jesus left heaven, where he truly was rich with God and had everything that he had. And now he's giving an opportunity to you to be a New Testament Christian. He came and lived on this earth for 33 plus years. Died on a cross that you might have a right to eternal life if you'll just give up your stubborn ways and follow God's ways. And you say, "Well, I've got all kinds of money. I've got all kinds of this. I've got all kinds of that." As a man once said, "I have all I need and God can do nothing for me." Since then, that man has changed his mind, and that's a good thing. But where are you at in this battle? Where am I at in this battle? I have to fight it just as much as you do. But when you don't fight the battle and you give up, you've lost. So you need to hear that God is there. We're all looking for God. Even before I was a Christian, I was looking for something better. And believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And He left heaven, He came to earth, He done all the things He did, and He died on that cross to take away our sins. Hear, believe, repent. Repentance is hard. That's hard for us as human beings because then we have to say, I've done something wrong. And we as the congregation here at Wells Berwick, we all know that very well, what's happened in the last few years, right? It's hard for us to say, "I've done something wrong." And then confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and you're not going to any longer serve what you want to serve, but you're going to do what God wants you to do and how God wants you to do it. And you're going to have that ball and chain that you're going to have to cut that chain on, because the way you lived your life previously, to do what God wants you to do, you got to cut that away. And some of it, sometimes it takes a blowtorch. Other times it might just be a paper chain, something that's not bad. And other times it's going to be a heavy ball and chain. You got to get rid of, right? When you make that confession, you go down into the water to be baptized, to rise, to walk in newness of life. Once you've done that, to live faithful unto the end, that's where we're at. That's where the big battle's at, right? It's difficult. And we need to understand that, right? And we need to think about that. And you're not in this alone. So think about that. And the things going on in your life. And then remember again, are you winning the battle? And we're ready to stand and sing number 348 now. So if you be in any way subject to the gospel call, please come.